Let's just take a minute. Sahana bhavatu, sahana punaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvinavati tamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Okay, sentences in Bhandarkar, page 109, first column, starting with Kshetra.
Kshetra gamana vartmana gachantam yatra kam apashyam. Breaking the sandhi, kshetra gamin would be the instrumental singular of kshetra gamin. Vartmana is the instrumental singular of vartman path. Gachantam is probably the present active participle in the accusative singular, meaning going. Yatrakam, accusative singular, let's see, masculine, I think, meaning pilgrim. Apashyam is the, it's the first person plural of pashya, class 4, pash drush, actually, to see. So, is that correct? Mm-hmm. The first person?
Is it plural? It's past.
First person. You said first person, and then is it singular, dual, or plural?
Oh, singular. That makes more sense.
And drush, I believe, is first parasmaipada, but it has the secondary form of push.
I never knew how to.
Well, you know how gum has a secondary, becomes gutch? Uh-huh. Oh, I learned it, and how Bhandarkar teaches it also is thrish in brackets, push.
Right, the thrish is the actual thrish. Dhatu, but push is what is used in the present system, I think.
Exactly.
Again, that word came up, what the present system is. Those four.
If I can remember. I'll find out about this present system. I'll talk to Brahma Prakash. She'll know immediately, of course. Okay, good. Were you okay in the sentence?
No, I don't get the chantan.
Oh, no. Who's translating this?
I am.
Yeah, let's finish it.
Well, okay, so let's see. First person. I saw... the pilgrim going on pilgrimage, on the path to the holy place. And I think in English you just say, I saw the pilgrim on his pilgrimage, making his rounds, her rounds on the pilgrimage.
Give me a really literal translation, and then anybody has questions, then ask Priya. If she can't answer, then I'll answer.
Kshetra Gamana is... it's actually the pilgrimage itself, I think, the going to a holy place. And then Vartmana, by the path, and since is preceded by Kshetra Gaman, then Kshetra Gaman is just modifying the noun path or way, and so it's that particular way, the way of going to a holy place.
You could just say, yeah, by the path which goes to the holy place in English, by the path which goes to the
sacred. That path, that kind of path.
But literally it would be by the going to a holy place path.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Sometimes I actually think it's really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. You know why that's helpful? Because you can learn to read Sanskrit from left to right. If you think like that, you just, by that which goes to a holy place, the path, it just read along. Okay, so Gacchantam, Kiki, you asked about that. Do you see what that is?
No, I don't know what that is.
That's the present active participle where it's where you take the verb, what's called the base, I guess.
The oh, so it's Gacchant.
Yeah, right. And then okay, you go so ahead and add the vikaranam, the ah, the ends, and then it's kind of like the third person.
So Gacchanti, and you lop off the e.
And the end.
But the participle is gachet. Gachet would be the normative. It just means gachet. I just meant what is the stem which is being declined is gachet. Is this true?
Well, for the
I guess
active participle, you take the third person
plural
and you lop off the e.
Right. That works. Well, the way I learned it, I'm sure there's, because these are kind of shortcuts, they're certainly not sutras, right? How I learned it, you just take the third person plural, that form, which would be, in this case, would be gachanti. You remove the mt and replace it with a gachat. That's how I learned it. And then that gachat is declined like bhagavat, except in the nominative singular where the doesn't become a. Right? So you would have gachan, and that's the only difference.
So this is accusative singular, right?
Yeah, like Bhagavantam, Gacchanta.
So it's accusative singular of Gacchet. Right.
Okay. That's so it. Could we have a kind of reasonable English translation of this, you know, rather than a clunky English translation of it? What would be a reasonable English translation of it? I saw the pilgrim going.
On the path to the holy place. Okay. But the idea here is by means of, by the path. We wouldn't say that in English.
Right.
But literally, I saw the pilgrim going by the path which leads to the holy place.
By the holy place path.
By the right.
Well, in English, maybe you'd say on the path instead of by.
That's exactly. Probably say on. Yeah. Do you see it, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Next one.
Janasya kalyanai yatmaten yatamane.
You're doing Hindi. Janasya?
Janasya
kalyanai.
Kalyanai
yatamaten.
No, there's a mistake in our.
Kalyanai?
Not kalyanai. Don't you have
kalyanai? Kalyanai. What did I. Oh, am I not saying the yopo?
You're doing Hindi. That's
sorry,
right.
Sorry. Janasya kalyanaya. Okay. Yatamanena Ramayanatma Kleshamu Paniyata. So that breaking the sandhi would be Janasya Kalyanaya Yatamanena Ramayanatma Klesham Upaniyata. So Janasya is the genitive singular of jana, that means of the person. Kalyanaya is that the, maybe the dative singular of kalyana? Yatmanena. Yatamanena. And then it looks like an instrumental singular form.
Of what?
Like Ramayana. So yatmana.
Yatamana is the. Do you know what it is?
No.
Who knows?
Passive participle.
Striving.
Not passive participle.
Active mana. No.
It's a present participle.
It's a present passive.
Where's the
yet? The present active.
There's no yet there. Yet the mana.
No, not passive verb. Passive participle, isn't it? Present passive participle.
Present passive participle. Yeah, that's right.
Where's the passive?
It's active.
It's just the type of participle, isn't it?
Isn't it just a present?
Present participle.
Atmanepada. Isn't it present participle, atmanepada?
Active.
No, it's not a present active participle. That's
no, no. It's a present participle, atmanepada.
But it's missing something? I think it's part of the passive system. that participle.
Yeah, but what is the participle? What type of participle is it?
It's a present participle.
In the Atmanepada, right? Present participle is different in the Parismipada and the Atmanepada. In the present participle, it takes in the Atmanepada, it takes mana. In the Parismipada, it takes the ut.
It takes ut.
You're slipping the mouth.
No, I have that's exactly what I have done.
Yeah. No,
the section on participles, that's the problem.
Yeah, we just have
here, let me show you.
Mana so, can be both active and passive.
Yeah. This is
that's
going
with the confusion.
Present participle has two forms. One form for the Parismipada, one for the Atmanepada. Right? For the Parismipada, it takes like gacha, gachanti would become gacha, then it declines like Bhagavata. For the Atmanepada, say like labhamana. Right? It takes mana. So lab plus the akara of the conjugational sign, labha mana. Now labha mana is going to decline like rama. Now, if you want to do a passive present participle, you will use the mana affix plus ya, labhya mana. You see what I mean? So this is yetamana from yetate. Yetamana is just present participle, atmanepada. If I said yetya mana, then it would be the Atmanepada. You know how the using the Atmanepada endings, because passive always takes Atmanepada endings? Mm-hmm. So if you see the mana, just like if you see any Atmanepada ending, then you're going to have to look at the root to see if the yakara was added to make it into a passive form. If the yakara is not there, the yetta mana is not going to be passive. It'll just be present participle active, Atmanepada.
Huh. Okay.
You with me on this?
Sort of.
Well, here, let me just show you where to read in here, because this is...
He just said how to make it.
I think it's an Antoine.
We just have this. I can't find it, though.
Because it was so showered before the
same chapter has consonant endings. Pass of cards. Here we go. Yeah, page 90 and 91.
Maybe what we'll do is we'll work on that this week, and then if we have some questions...
Could you make a note to look at the top of page, go to page 84.
Is this in Antoine?
In Antoine, page 84, but on the top of 86, it tells you how to make the present participle passive.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So more could be incorrect in that chapter.
But Pandarpa.
On page 91.
Yeah, let me look.
The third paragraph, he tells about how to form the present participle.
Yeah.
To form the present participle, the conjugational sign is affixed to the root, right? And then the termination ut is added onto it when the root takes parismipada terminations. And mana, when it takes atmanepada terminations. Ana, however, takes the place of mana when the base does not end in a. So this, you know, the first four, six, and tenth, the conjugational sign is, you know. When we learn all the other gunas, you'll learn how to add ana on, not mana. But for all practical purposes now, for the first four, six, and tenth gunas, it'll add mana. Passive present participles are formed by adding mana to the passive base. The passive base of even Parismipada or Atmanepada roots, you take the passive base and add mana.
Which is what you get after
adding the ya, and then sometimes you do things
like what if I said... Drish would be pashati, but drishyate, right?
Uh-huh.
Pashati, he sees, drishyate, it is seen.
Mm-hmm.
Drishyamana would be, is being seen.
So you have to add it to, okay.
Yeah. So what if I said gachati or gamyate? Gamyamana. Gamyamana, right?
So you have to have the yup to make it
passive. Otherwise, it's just being Atmanepada. Because remember that Atmanepada is also present tense,
right? Yeah.
But it's also used to form passive. But if it's used to form passive, it needs the ya.
Mm-hmm.
So here if I said yetate or yetyate, right?
Uh-huh.
Yetyate would be passive, so yetyamana.
Uh-huh.
He strives. Yatamana means he strives. But this is yatamana because it's not passive.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not passive here.
That's so funny. Oh. I read that and the significance of it just went by. Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's
just that right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is hard.
Okay, back to you, Kiki.
So yatamanina is the instrumental singular for yatamana, which is the present participle active of yatate. And I don't know what it means, though.
Strives.
Strives,
right. Striving. Making effort. Striving.
Yeah. So if it's a participle, it's going to have to be adjectival.
Yeah. If it's a present participle, it has to be adjectival. Right? Present participle can't be the verb in the sentence. Whereas
the passive.
Passive and past active can be either adjective or verb. It can take the place of the verb, but not the present participle. It can never do it. It always has to accompany a verb and show simultaneous action while this is happening.
Right,
that,
yeah.
Ramena is instrumental singular for Rama. Atma is the nominative singular for Atman. Klesham is I guess either nominative or accusative singular for Klesha.
Actually, Klesha is masculine, I think.
Oh, but it's neuter.
Masculine. If it's masculine, what does this make it have to be?
Accusative.
Yeah.
Singular. And then upaniyata. I don't know what that is. Upaniyata. It's
the clue is that long a and the
I see. Upani. Yeah. What's upani mean? It means to like be exposed to something or be put into a condition, be forced into some sort of a condition.
Upani means that?
Upani. Upa means to take away.
Isn't it upa?
This is upa.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
this is upa plus. No, it still means the same. Upani. I was meaning
upani. Upani, right?
Upani. But what's the ah there?
Is it upani or upani?
It's upani, but
yeah.
Why is it ah? Why is it ah? Why does upani become upaniyata?
I don't remember.
It's feminine?
Past tense.
Past tense.
In the past tense, have you learned past tense?
Very briefly, we touched upon
very
past
briefly.
Tense, yeah.
Let's remember the past tense. In the past tense, there would be an augment that comes before
yes.
the verb.
Yes.
But if there's a preposition, it'll come between.
It goes before the augment.
So
it's
upa, right? Upa plus as, upa.
Yeah.
And now, what about ni? Because nayati, ni is one parasmipada, so this is niyata. What does that mean when you see that yakara there? Upa niyata. Passive, past passive. Upa niyata.
Right. Just the atta. Is yata. That what you mean? The ta.
The yakara.
End. But. Ah niyata. Are you saying past passive? But that is a ta ending, right?
Isn't it imperfect?
Imperfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's the yakara there?
That's the passive, to make it passive.
Exactly.
It's imperfect. Passive.
So.
So being
upa,
led instead of leaving.
Upa, yeah, being exposed. Mm-hmm. Do you see the past tense? The plus the ta, the ya makes it passive.
I see. Okay, no, I didn't. I have to review that. I didn't know that. So that means being exposed. So let's see. So going back.
I'm looking for upa new here. This is a construction that we really won't use in English. Sometimes when we make a passive construction in the Sanskrit, it's not something that we would do. Ask questions.
Well, I'm not sure how this, while, I didn't know you were reading from here.
I wanted to ask you something after. I'm just waiting.
No, we're not the same thing.
I just reading something after. So I'm
sorry. We're all respectfully quiet.
I should say
uncharacteristically quiet.
Right.
I thought we were just all being patient and letting the people figure this out.
Oh, no, I wasn't even.
We wouldn't have given her that much time.
I'm sorry, okay.
So, Janasya, also people, the kalyan, the well-being of the people, the stripe, but it's kind of weird, I can't, is it somebody's atma is going to a klesha ram?
Well, you know,
Ramayana is striving for the Ram is striving for the
welfare
of the people is being striven for by Ra.
You would say his self.
While his self was being
the Atma, his self. Can we just give the jiva, his person. It doesn't mean Brahman, right?
Right.
The Atma, it's usually flexibly. His own self.
Okay. So this is very confusing because this shows up in a lot of sentences and we were just
discussing
this. We don't whether to take it philosophically or whether it's like a reinforcement that it's actually wrong.
Well, they're using a passive tense here.
Right.
Passive.
Right.
And so it's a passive construction. So you would say his self is being exposed to klesha, pain.
Right.
Klesha is pain, right? Different types of pain. His self is, the self is being exposed, it means his own self is being exposed to pain.
While he strives.
By Rama striving for the welfare of the people, his self is being exposed to pain. But that's what I mean. In English, we're not going to use this construction. It's a passive construction. And often when Atma, you have to be careful of the use of Atma, because just like I can say, I'm going to the store, referring to my body, or I am tired, kind of referring to my prana, or I am happy or sad, referring to my mind. The word Atma is going to be used to refer to any different part of the upadi, the body, the mind, sense organs. And also, in a sentence, it's often used reflexively, and it will go back to the subject of the sentence. Right, so here the subject of the sentence is Rama, because passive construction. So reflexively, the Atma, Rama's self, right? So it does come, it actually does come up quite a bit, this type
yes,
of,
it does.
Yeah.
It's good. So could we even say, in a way, if we wanted to make this more grand and, you know, and that Rama sacrifices, you know, there's some sacrifice on his part, you know, to help uplift the people.
Well, that's the idea, but
implicit?
But you know, if you want to have a kind of a really loose translation, you can do that. But usually, you want to try to honor the words that are being used, but then put it in a grammatical syntax that works. And if you can't do that, then you have to do what you're doing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So sometimes we make a decision to do that. Because there's just
so
no way
to say. So what about Rama endures?
Endures is good.
Endures pain while striving for the welfare of the people.
Yeah. I would just put it, Rama striving for the welfare of the people endures pain. Or, you know, his body comes, I don't know what I'd do, his body comes to, you know, suffers. Actually, when you think about it, it's kind of hard to get this exact sense in English.
Yeah.
Because it's meant the whole person of Rama is, you know, experiencing pain by his striving to help, striving for the welfare of the people.
Mm. Well, that's sort of a question about Atma. Is it, can you use that word when you're referring only to the body or the mind?
Yeah, we do it. Yeah,
person?
Yeah. In the Bhagavad Gita.
So there's no way except context.
Context. Often in the Bhagavad Gita, Atma is not usually used for the body, but it's often used for the mind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very frequent. So you have to be ready for that. And it can be used for the body, too. Yeah.
So you really have to know philosophy. You have to understand what they're really trying to say before you translate it in English and choose a word like soul.
That's right.
Because
you can't.
You have to know they don't mean the body in this particular.
Yeah, and they, if it's in Vedanta, this question still comes up. Are they talking about the Atma, which is Brahman?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it being used to for the mind?
Yeah.
Or for the jiva? Or, you know, what is it being referred to?
Yeah.
That's a so context will often tell you, and then you have to go to the, if you're in doubt, you have to look at the Bhasha. Okay, are you okay, Kiki?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
Atmanah putranam karmasu kaushalam prashanksati. There's no Sundays meeting break in here. They're all fairly straightforward. So, let's see. So, someone praises, says is active now, praises the skill. So that would be in Dvitiya. And then Karmasu is the saptami, the locative plural of the unending action. Karman, I guess. And then putranam is a shashti for children. And atmanaha is also... Putra. Is this another idea?
Putra actually doesn't mean children, it means son.
Sons.
Putra is son, yeah.
Okay.
Well, as opposed to son, daughter, is different than children.
Right.
So it's actually son, yeah.
Okay. And then atmanaha would also then be shashti. So here again, how are we thinking about...
reflexive.
So
it's back to the subject, right?
Right. So the children themselves.
No, what does prashamsati mean?
Praise.
He praises,
he or
she praises, and it's probably...
He praises the skill in action of the children, basically. But I didn't know exactly...
Of his children.
Oh, of his children.
Of his sons, okay. You can say children if you want, as long as you know that it means sons. I want this differentiation. There's son and there's kanya. The kanya, daughter. Son, daughter, whatever the word for daughter is.
Okay.
Putri wants that.
Putri, do you say?
No, in Hindi we should say putri. Putra-putri.
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 Okay. So and then there's words for children.
But if you're thinking about, in the abstract, children, like in Jyotisha, we have the fifth bhava. It's called the putrasthana.
Oh, that's why you're doing that.
That's why I'm doing that.
Okay. Oh, but it refers to children.
It refers to children.
But that's because the only people that care.
But then on the other hand, if there's affliction to the putrasthana, the person may not have children, but when we did research on it, we found out they'll have daughters.
Oh,
how interesting.
Remember,
I didn't go to that.
So when I did that seminar, I found that they could eke out, even with a lot of affliction, they could eke out a daughter, maybe, but no son. So what you're saying is kind of, that is kind of interesting.
So atmanaha here is used reflexively for the person who's...
The subject of the sentence.
Yeah.
So we would say
you
that...
Say his.
So we could say he or the father, I guess, and it could be implied here, praises the skill of his children.
Yeah.
Or the mother.
Or the mother, or someone.
Well, if you're taking this as feminine, because the, you know... It's not told to you.
Yeah.
So she praises the skill in action.
Skill in actions.
Right?
Or
skill in karmas, whatever.
Of her sons, right?
Of her sons or of her children.
Yes.
Or he of his children.
Right.
So that's what he's pointing. See, in the previous verse, he also did it with Atma, now Atmana, how he wants to make you understand the use of Atma.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And then loosely, you know, we could say the skillful actions.
As long as it works in the context.
Okay.
Because they're really talking about the skillfulness in the different karmas that they do.
Okay. Yeah.
The karmas can be rituals or the different jobs that they have, the different responsibilities. So just like the word kre, to do, always is going to be defined by what you're doing. Like he does a kingdom, mean he rules a kingdom, right? He does the floor means he sweeps the floor, right? So kre is going to vary, it's very variable depending upon the object. And so here you have that kind of situation also in karma, you know, skillfulness in the karmas. Now, what are the karmas? So say in the context, the karmas are clear. They've defined what these karmas are that the person is doing. You know, then it would be their skill in that.
I see.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And it would also have the connotation that the person's wise about choosing things. They skillfully navigate things, or they know.
In whatever the karma is referring to, right?
So that's emotional intelligence would be included there, probably, because the person just knows how to navigate the world in a real wise way, and you don't.
And
get
in the Bhagavad Gita,
exactly translated as. Action.
No, that's right. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Karma Yoga has two aspects. One is the prasada buddhi, where I take everything as prasad, as a gift from the Lord. The other is kaushalam, in action. Mm-hmm. Kaushalam means I understand dharma, adharma, I understand appropriate behavior, I know how to navigate in the world dharmically. That's kaushalam. Mm-hmm. And so that's the, Krishna talks about, uses that word itself in the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's in chapter 3 or 4, I don't remember what it is. Not far away, somewhere in 3 or 4.
Isn't it like number 50 in the Bhagavad Gita, verse 50, probably number 1, where it's the first mention of the word yoga, and then he says yoga is skill and action?
In chapter 2?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll just see if it's
50. It'll be real quick. Okay, so are we okay with the sentence there?
Oh, you're done. Okay, well, I'll be mine then.
Yeah.
Krishna Vasudevasya Sadmani Vasanambarat Avatarantam Narada Pashyat.
Do you have a mother?
Naradam Pashyat.
Naradam Pashyat.
Yeah.
So Krishna saw Narada descending, present active participle in the accusative singular, of a tarantam, from heaven or from the sky, Ambarat. In the house, while living in the house, Sadmani would be locative singular. I can't remember what the gender is. Sadmani.
It's neuter.
Okay. So it's still be locative singular neuter for in the house of Vasudeva, I think his father. So while Krishna was in his father's house, he saw Narada descending from the heaven.
That's right. You see that use of the double nakara there? Mm-hmm. Because that's a sandhi rule.
That rule.
Being preceded by a short vowel,
right.
The nakara will double when it's followed by any vowel. So vasan ambarat avantaram naradam apashat.
And the words would be kept separate at that point? Is it
no.
Just because of the asterisk?
Only the asterisk.
That's what we were wondering.
Okay.
Yeah, that, there he's just breaking it, but if you take that out, it'll come together as one word. So, that's right. That's perfect. Krishna, living in the house of Vasudeva, saw Narada descending from the sky. Everybody see that?
I mean, I'll have to break it down later.
What part did you see?
We should break it down there.
So, Krishna, would be the nominative singular masculine for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Vasudevasya, genitive singular masculine for Vasudeva. Sadmani is the locative singular neuter for Sadman, M-A-N ending.
Okay.
And then Vasan is, I think that's a noun actually, isn't it?
No, Vasan is a P.
So, oh, it's a, right. Yeah, how did I know that? I must have figured that out earlier. Vasan. So it's
like
Vasanti, so it'd be Vas plus the Vikaranam that you add, the and it's a class one, so it would just be And then, so that would make Vasat, and then you would decline that,
as an A ending, just like Vatmat, except in the nonative singular, it doesn't lengthen the A. Mm-hmm. But here, it takes the double M because of what mm-hmm. Carol just said, preceded by a short vowel and followed by
so an A. I'm sorry.
So it's nominative.
The sun is the nominative
present active participle.
Okay.
Right, so living.
Of present active participle being the vasat.
Vasan, uh-huh. Yeah.
And so that is, okay.
Of us to live.
To live.
Vasan
dwell.
Is nominative singular, so living, uh-huh. Dwelling, living. Living in the sense of dwelling.
Dwell.
Residing.
Okay.
Residing in the house of Vasudeva. Do you see it, Kiki?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then if the asterisk weren't there, would there be an a?
Yeah.
Starting the next word?
No, no, no.
The
just get rid of the asterisk and draw the line over so that it's like one word Sunday together.
So it is an a.
So it's not vasan nam.
Yeah, so it'd be vasan ambarat.
Because
one of the nakaras gets
yeah.
goes, so vasan, if you break it, vasan ambarat. Ambarat. Uh-huh.
Ambarat, and then.
Ava,
just
the ablative.
Avatarantam is a present active participle also. Right?
Ava is from Ava plus three to cross. Ava means down, way away or off or down. So crossing down or descending, moving, crossing over down.
Yeah. Nice for avatara, you know, when
yes,
it comes
yes.
down.
Yes.
Yeah,
avatara, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Naradam and accusative singular masculine, and apashyat being the imperfect singular, third person singular. Parasmaipada.
So we take just a stand up break, 5 minutes?
Yeah,
after
I'm
break.
Right now. I'm not
I know, you have to. Let's go.
Shree.
Wait, start it. Can you start over? Okay.
No, we're ready.
Shri Shailasya Ragnyo Mahishi Suryam Chandram Chatmana Utsang. I can't. What is that conjunct underneath?
Utsanga. Utsanga.
Is it a ga underneath?
Ga.
Utsanga Vartinau Swapne Pashyat. So, Shri. I think that breaking the santi will be Shri Sheshanasya Ragnyaha.
Shri Sheshanasya.
Shri Sheshanasya Ragnyaha Mahishi. And then Suryam and Chandram are two separate, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Chatman will be Cha Atmana. Cha Atmanaha, maybe?
Yeah.
And then Utsanga.
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 With a dash, so that's one word. It's
okay.
A compound.
Utsanga Vartina. Okay, that's one word. And then Swapne Apashyat.
Yeah.
So Shri Shayanasya is the genitive singular for Shri Shayana. I don't know what.
Shri Shayana is a name, proper name of the king. Shri Shayana.
Okay. So Shri Shayana is. So of Shri Shayana. Ragnyaha would be, I guess, either ablative or genitive for Rajan. Mahishi. Mahishi is, Mahishi, I don't know what part.
Nominative,
is.
It's Mahishi is queen, right? Mahishi,
oh,
so it's just nominative singular. So that's a long E.
Long E,
right.
And then Suryam and Chandram are for Suryas and Chandras.
Suryam.
Yes. Suryas and Chandram would be for Chandras. Is that the is and
no, just Chandra.
Chandra, okay.
There's no is there, so you see Suryam.
Okay, so Suryam and Chandram are just accusative singular for Surya and Chandra.
Yeah.
Cha Atmanaha, cha is an, and then Atmanaha is from Atman. Again, that would be the same as Ragnyaha, either ablative or genitive singular. And then Utsangavartinau, I don't know what it means, but is Utsangavartinau, is that a locative?
Utsanga means lap. Varatin,
yeah.
Sorry, means resting on or placed on. existing on. So we would just say sitting on, but it really means existing on or rest.
So it is locative singular?
No. What is out? There's a couple of lessons in this sentence.
What is out? I don't know. I don't remember.
Ramaha, Rama, Rama.
Oh, sorry, dual, yeah. Okay, so it's Sangvartin, Vartinam, so it's just nominative dual?
Well, you're going to have to decide if it's nominative or accusative.
Accusative dual, yeah, nominative or accusative dual. And then Swapne, oh, is that in the dream? Is that a locative for Swapna? Locative singular for Swapna. And then Apashyat is saw, we just did that in the other sentence, third person singular. Okay, so this would be, the queen of Sri Shena saw the sun and the moon on her, both the sun and the moon on her lap in her dream.
That's right. Very good. That's perfect. What's the subject of the sentence?
Mahishi.
And the verb?
Saw Apashyat.
Mm-hmm. So Mahishi Apashyat.
Right.
The queen saw, what's the object?
Surya and Chandra.
Mm-hmm. So the queen saw...
The two objects, right.
And then what is Utsanga Vartinal?
In her dream, so that would be, just in her dream.
No. Utsanga Vartinal. Swapne means in the dream.
Oh, sorry. Utsanga Vartinal is on... Both on her lap.
Yeah, so it's adjectival. See, right. This is the thing. Surya and Chandra, that's dual. It's two things. Those two things are on her lap.
Right.
Are placed on, seated on her lap. That's why the dual. It's adjectival. Right? Uh-huh. The Atmanaha, reflexive.
Yeah.
Does it have to be in this case? I mean, could you take a more philosophical thought of saying in her dream she saw Surya and Chandra resting on the lap of the Absolute.
Oh.
Of the
Atman?
Could
you take it as a more cosmic kind of dream vision rather than her lap? Is that possible?
It's possible, but you would have to have context because it's a real stretch.
Okay.
Right? If the context meant that in the context they were talking about the Atma as Brahman, it's a real stretch even philosophically.
Okay.
But we could get there, but context would really have to.
Okay.
Yeah. But otherwise, this is simple, very simple ways, just to take it reflexively is on her lap. Otherwise, you say on the lap of the self, it is kind of nice.
Yeah. I mean, again, as a Jyotishi, I like that idea.
Yeah. But say it's just meant kind of in layman's language, I want you to understand the reflexive use of it. And if it means something more philosophical, like the Atma, which is Brahman, then there would be a context that would make that, would break that open with ease, right? If it doesn't break open in that way with ease, then it's probably just reflexive, if the context doesn't make it clear. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So does everybody see this? Any questions about it? So the lessons here are the use of the Atmanaha there with Mahishi, and the use of the dual Utsanga Vartinal with Suryam and Chandra. The Surya and Chandra is brought together by Cha, which makes it dual, which is different. We'll see in another example they give later where they would say, like, if they were to say Surya or Chandra, then it would be singular because it's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Surya and Chandra, then this compound will encompass both, and a dual would be used.
But a Cha would still be used even if it's Surya or Chandra?
No, then we would use Va.
Right, Va.
Yeah.
So is this a PPP? Because resting or existing implies an action?
I took it just as Vartin.
Okay.
From Vartin.
So accusative dual of Utsanga Vartin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Utsanga Vartin. Vartina. Vartina, ending noun, right?
Vartin. Utsanga is a ending, and then Vartin.
Oh, I thought Utsanga Vartina was one.
Vartin, am I doing something wrong here?
Yeah, it is one. I think he has it as one.
Oh, no, it's given as a compound.
Right.
But now, since you mention it, I have to look at Vartin. I didn't even think about it. I just assumed it. We should look that up just a minute. When they say Utsangavartin in the book, is that what they have, Utsangavartin?
Yes.
Okay.
Vartana, actually.
Vartana?
Yeah.
But I'm not
the
lexicon part.
It's not the... Yeah, maybe it's Vartana. I just don't know that word. Let me just look for it.
That's why I thought it might be a PPP.
How would it be a PPP? I don't understand.
No, there's a, in the lexicon section, there is a Virama there. So it's
yeah. Bartin.
Oh, so there's not a Virama here.
Bartin is what I know.
Bartin. Okay, that makes sense.
So that's like Shishin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that clear for everybody?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can go ahead while I look at Bartin.
Aparadina. Purushan. Dandayantu Rajana.
Rajana.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, I thought that Rajana might be plural vocative.
Why?
Why did I think that?
With the problem there is
there's an
the
imperative.
Verb. Yeah, I know, but what is the imperative?
It's a third person.
Yeah.
Imperative.
Yeah, whenever you want to find, I'll call you. ठीक है.
It's plural, though, isn't it? That imperative.
Mm-hmm. And Rajanaha
is singular.
No.
No, it's plural. Also.
Plural.
Okay.
An imperative doesn't have to have a vocative.
It doesn't.
No.
Okay.
No. It doesn't have to be addressing somebody.
So.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. So is this more like a prescriptive use of the imperative?
Yeah.
Imperative. So the kings must punish?
Not must. That would be more potential.
Yeah.
It would be more like let kings.
Let the kings. May the kings punish. Okay. Mm-hmm. So may the kings punish the offenders, the guilty people.
The guilty so people. Guilty. The people who are guilty.
The people who are guilty. Right. So, okay. So, aparadinaha is an in-ending. Mm-hmm. And so this is in the accusative, in Dvitiya Bahu.
Mm-hmm.
And then Purushan is the also Dvitiya plural, people. And then punish is in the imperative. And then this is nominative. Rajanaha.
So is everybody clear on the use of the imperative? Do you see how that there is no vocative necessary in the imperative, but often if the imperative is in the second person, it'll usually, often, there will be an invocative, but there doesn't have to be.
Right.
You know?
So the more common imperative is second person, but it doesn't have to be. Right. That's a little below my radar that it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be at all. It often is.
Right.
Because you're asking, you know,
you're
to do this,
directly.
Telling somebody to do something. So often it will be in second person, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
You know?
Even if that person is named in the sentence?
Well, if the person is named, then it will be in second person.
No, vocative, though.
If the vocative is there, right?
If you're addressing the person and you name that person, wouldn't that... That have to be in the vocative, though?
Yeah, the name would be in the vocative.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like, O Rama, uh-huh. Go to the forest. But that go to the forest is going to be, may you go to the forest.
Uh-huh.
So you is the subject,
right.
Not the vocative.
That doesn't have to be.
Yeah. It won't be. Vocative will never. It can be part of the verb. You could say, hey Rama, tvam gachasi. Oh, tvam gacha. May you go. Mm-hmm. Right? Vanam mm-hmm. or whatever.
But if you say Rama, you have to have it in the vocative.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Otherwise, well, if you say Rama, it would be different. It would be Ramaha Gachatu Vanam. May Rama go to the forest.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Right? That's different than saying, hey Rama, go to the forest.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, darn, it's my turn. Well, I'm going to go on too. Ashmaneva Nirmatim Dushtanam Hridayam. There might be a typo here. Parakiyasya? Or is it
Parakiyasya?
Parakiyasya.
Yeah. Parakiyasya. Another word. Dukkasya Shravanena Nakadapi Dravati.
Does it not continue after that? The Shubhanankarna?
No, that's the next sentence.
Oh, so it doesn't have a. No.
It's long enough, Kiki.
No, it doesn't have a danda after it. You know, do you have a danda?
Oh, ours has a danda.
Do you have a danda, Carol?
No, but it should be there. I just
yeah,
put it there.
Dravati.
Okay. Yeah, put a danda after dravati.
Ushman would be accusative of singular masculine.
What, Ushman, you mean?
Ushman, I'm sorry. Ushman. And then Eva is...
Well, actually, this is going to be different. Awesome. First of all, if it was Ushman in the accusative, what would it be? What would Ushman in the accusative be?
Stone.
Yeah, but in the accusative singular, it would be Ushmanam, right?
Ushmanam. Oh.
So this is an Eva.
Oh, it's
Ashmane. No.
It's not Vakada?
It's not
Eva.
No. It's not Eva.
Ashman, there's a Santi there and it's Eva, probably.
Ashmana. Ashmana.
Oh, right. I had that yesterday. I was. okay.
Ashmana.
Like by stones, though.
It's awkward in English. Well, you say it differently in English, but that's what it says,
so
like by stone.
It's tritiya.
Instrumental, yeah. Tritiya. Ashmana Eva.
Okay. Nirmatim means creative, and...
Nirmittam.
Nirmittam.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It means what?
Nirmittam. Created or made.
And that's what?
Probably accusative of singular.
Yeah.
Dushtanam.
Actually, no, it may not be accusative, but we'll just, it could be either, depends on what it's adjectival to. You'll have to see whether it's accusative or singular or nominative.
Because it's a past passive. Yeah, so Pinir plus Ma. Ma is like to measure, I think.
Yeah.
Like measured off.
No, Nirmitta means made or created.
Uh-huh. Okay. Dushtanam is genitive plural of the wicked. Hridayam is accusative or nominative or accusative, singular, neuter for heart.
Mm-hmm.
This word I don't know. I guess I knew it yesterday when I looked it up. Parakiyasya.
It means parakiya. Just means of another.
Of another.
Mm-hmm. Of another.
Okay.
Parakiyasya.
Of another. Singular. Genitive singular. Dukkasya of genitive singular for misery. Of misery. Shravanena by the hearing. By hearing, instrumental singular. Neuter. Oh, it's neuter. Nakadapi. Not ever, I think.
Just never. When you have a no with a, what do you call these? I forget the name of these things.
Indeclinable?
No. Indefinite article.
Okay.
These
right,
indefinites. When you put a no with them, it will mean like here in this case, never. Because kadapi itself means at any time, right? Sometime means sometimes. Yeah, kadapi means sometimes, but na kadapi doesn't mean not sometimes. It means never. So it makes it turns an indefinite article into an absolute. Like if you said kopi, someone, you know, someone right. might do this. But if you say na kopi, no one.
No one.
See, no one is much different than say not someone. So it will turn it into an absolute. So na kadapi means never.
Kadapi means sometimes? No,
sometimes.
Never. I thought kadapi itself meant never.
No, it means sometimes. You need the negative there.
Yeah, it's always used in connection with negative, I think.
Isn't the ka, aren't those interrogatives also like...
Yeah, but when they're used with this upi, they become indefinite pronouns. But they are interrogatives by themselves. Like kaha, ta, kada, kasmin.
Yeah,
all of those are interrogatives. But they can always take this upi or chit or chena affix that makes it into
right.
an indefinite.
Right. That's right.
Right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it is kada plus upi.
That's right.
So which time or what time?
Sometimes.
Da means is a.
Kada means when or at what time.
Right.
In terms of time, right? But kadapi means sometime.
Okay. And then dravati is from the class one verb dru in the third person singular padasmaipada, and it means to flow, to go, or to flow, or to.
Or to melt with my
pity. That was another one that I never heard that I loved it, though. Melt with pity, I think.
Yeah.
So he or she, back to square one, it's like I've never seen this sentence before. His heart flows with pity. So maybe Hridayam is in the nominative.
Yeah, I think so.
His heart, isn't that accusative?
Or the heart.
The,
I think there's no abuse there, but let's just see what the sentence looks like. Take it in the nominative, that's good. That's a good start.
Let's see. Ashwana, by stones. Only by stones. Oh, the wicked heart that's created is like a stone. When another is suffering, when hearing of another is suffering, and does not melt with pity. Is that right?
You're getting it.
So the heart, so Hridayam would be in the nominative there, because it's the heart that we're talking about, the heart of, oh, is this one of those pivot sentences where the heart of the bad people doesn't melt, and then it's implied that Hridayam would be the pivot?
Yeah, what are you saying?
Heart of,
take the first part. Ashvana iva nirmitam dushtanam hridayam.
That's all
first part of
the heart.
That's right. That first line is just describing hridayam. Dushanam hridayam.
Well, what's created, the word created doing then?
Well, get rid of the dushanam for the moment and say nirmitim hridayam. The heart is made, is created. Ashvana iva. Nirmitam hridayam. Whose heart? Dushtanam.
Well, wait a minute, the heart now is getting worse.
What's the basic sentence, the subject verb?
This is my problem. Well, melting with pity is the verb.
So hridayam.
And hridayam is probably the and the kartri.
Yeah. So hridayam,
na
kadapi, dravati. Hridayam, na kadapi, never, dravati.
The heart never melts with pity.
That's the basic sentence.
So on the one hand, well then, actually there's no one hand and the other. The heart never melts with pity upon hearing of the troubles of other people.
And then what kind of heart?
Right, good, good. Yeah, the heart that is the heart of the wicked who are, but then created, I still don't know,
created
like
stone. Created like stone, so the heart.
Made of stone, the heart made of stone.
If we're like stone,
made
like
heart
stone.
Of a wicked person that's made like stone.
Mm-hmm. Like the stony heart of the wicked.
heart.
But are they using instrumental there for made like made by stone? It's made of
stone.
Stone
makes
stone.
The heart.
Yeah.
The heart is made by stone. We say the heart is made of stone in English.
Right.
The heart, and in English we probably say that the heart of the wicked is as though made of stone in English, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the heart of the wicked, which is as though made of stone, nekadapi dravati. Parakiyasya dukasya shravanena.
Never melts upon hearing of the pain of others.
Mm-hmm.
Good sentence.
Are we done?
Mm-hmm. My turn.
Your turn next week.
Next
your
week,
turn
okay.
Next week, yeah, we're done.
Okay, so we'll should we? I mean, these sentences are
I
really
think it's
pretty
wonderful.
Good.
I mean, if other people are okay.
Well, I think it's fantastic.
I think the
more
the merrier of the sentences.
Pick up where we left off.
Yeah, just go for it.
And just and we'll get into the next chapter.
Yeah, there's a few on the next page also.
Sure?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this and the next page and then the
and
next
we
chapter.
We'll do the next chapter.
We'll
great.
Probably get a few of the next chapter.
Yeah,
so,
we'll,
yeah.
You know, I realize how much help it is to know the meaning. Because you get some sense for the sentence. If you know the meaning of one or two words in the sentence, it just makes
it'll break up. It'll break,
it,
yeah, break apart for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We separate.
Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.